Let's just start in prayer, and then in a few moments, we're going to look at a few scriptures. We're going to look at Haggai chapter number 1 and verse number 3 and 5 through verse 5 there, and then Haggai chapter 2. But we're going to look at that in just a few moments. We don't need to look at it right now, but in just a few moments, we're going to look at it. Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight as we look at the Word. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this wonderful group of people who have gathered in your name tonight. We pray that you would open our ears and our hearts, that we would hear your word, and that your word would go forth in power and in boldness. We bind, rebuke, and bring to no effect every demonic force of the enemy, and we thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And everyone said a great big amen. Tonight, for a few moments, I want to preach on the thought, the call to awaken. Would you say that with me tonight? The call to awaken. Say it again. The call to awaken. How many's ever been fast asleep before and you heard your alarm clock go off or your phone go off and you turn over and you hit the snooze button about 5 times? How many's ever done that before? Now, if you're like me, I just keep pushing it and pushing that snooze button. And there has been times that I never turned off the snooze button and it keeps going off and I get aggravated with my phone. You know, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm aggravated at the phone, even though I'm the one that set the alarm. And then I have to shut it off. You know, that may be amusing to some of us tonight, but I believe that there is another alarm going off. It is a spiritual alarm that's being sounded from some pulpits in America. And there are people that are getting aggravated at the sound of the alarm because there are pastors and preachers who are sounding the alarm, and yet there are church people who want to continually push the snooze button. They know they got to get up, but they're thinking, just give me 5 more minutes and I'll get up. You know, I grew up in West Virginia and they used to say, I'm fixing to get up. How many's ever heard that before? I'm fixing to get up. In other words, I'm eventually going to get up. Not just right now, but I'm fixing to get up. And there are some people tonight that they're not getting up yet. They're eventually going to get up. Just give them 5 more minutes. My friends, I don't have to share any bad news to you tonight. You know that things are getting worse and worse. And we don't have a time as a church to continue to hit the snooze button. We have to get up. Our nation tonight is extremely divided. The church is globally divided as well. Do you know that as I speak, the church worldwide, globally, no matter what denomination or fellowship you may be a part of, the church now is divided. There are now liberal churches versus conservative churches. Churches that are arguing over truth and doctrine. I have never thought that we would ever see a day where churches would stand on convention floors and they would debate the virgin birth of Jesus. There are churches and denominations that will debate on convention floors about the bodily resurrection of Jesus, whether it actually happened or not. We have conventions of denominations debating over the divinity of Jesus and the authority of Scripture, or what marriage should be like, or what marriage is. We got denominations that's pronouncing and encouraging us to use pronouns before we speak. I mean, we are living in a divided age. An age that I never thought that we would ever see, but you and I are living in it. Now there is the biblical church versus the apostate church. That is what we are dealing with. You are either a part of a biblical church, now I'm not naming a denomination, or you are a part of an apostate church, a church that has drifted away from biblical truth and drifted away from orthodox teaching. The word orthodox means right belief. So it doesn't matter what denomination you are part of, if you believe in the core doctrines of Christianity, then you are an Orthodox Christian. Whether you are a Pentecostal, a Methodist, or a Baptist, or a Presbyterian, all of us agree on the core essentials of Christianity. And they are the virgin birth of Jesus, the authority of Scripture, the resurrection, the burial of Jesus, the Trinity, etc. Those things are the essential teachings of the Christian church. And nowadays, we are having the Christian church debating on these doctrines. These doctrines have been handed to us by the disciples. They have been taught for 2,000 years. And now we have churches standing on convention floors debating about it and making a vote that they don't believe in anymore. Who gives churches the authority to reject teachings of the church that we have taught for 2,000 years? Who gives us the authority to reject such things? But that's what's happening right now. The Bible says that this would happen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, and I quote, "For a time will come when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching, but they will follow their own desires and look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths." Isn't that what's happening right now? People are rejecting the truth. They do not want to listen to wholesome teaching. They are following their own desires, and they're looking for people to tell them what they want to hear. My friends, if there's ever been a time that we need to wake up, it is now. If there's ever been a time that we need to shake ourselves, it is now. This is not the time for us to sleep. This is not the time for us to fold our arms, so to speak, and act like nothing is happening. This is a crucial time in history. This is a pivotal time in history that we need to realize that the forces of darkness is against the forces of light, and we can no longer sit on the sidelines acting like nothing is happening. I believe that the Spirit of God is wooing us. The Spirit of God is sounding out a spiritual alarm. And he is saying to us, it is time for us to awaken. It is time for us to arouse to the truth again. It is time for us to hold up the banner of Christianity and proclaim orthodox biblical truth once again. According to the Pew Research Center, Christianity in America is declining. Now, it's not declining worldwide, but it is declining in America. Christianity is the fastest growing religion in the world with 2.3 billion people in it. It is fastly growing around the world, but in America, it is declining. And there are reasons for that. There are top three reasons, according to the Pew Research Center, on October the 17th, 2019, which was several years ago. They reported that the reason that Christianity in America is declining is, number one, that people are saying that the church is out of touch with my life. Number two, it's not relatable. And number three, the practices and beliefs of the church don't match what I think. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that's hearing me? Isn't that where we're at right now? People rejecting truth because they don't think it matches what they think is true. And that's what's happening. It's relevant truth. You can believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and let's just be happy. There is no moral absolutes anymore. There's no moral standard anymore. You believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe, and let's just live life like that. But that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that there is a moral standard because there is a creator called God. Can I hear an amen? And he is the standard. And anytime you begin to preach the truth, you will be hated for it. You will be called called a racist. You will be called a hater because you are speaking truth and they don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear truth anymore. But let me tell you, my friends, we still got to declare the truth. Remember what the Bible says? A rich young ruler came to Jesus and he asked Jesus, "Master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Have you kept the commandments? Keep the commandments. Do you love God? Do you love your neighbor?" And he says, "I've kept all of them from my youth." And then Jesus looked at the rich young ruler and said, "But there's one thing that you haven't done. Go sell everything that you have and follow me." My friends, the Bible says the rich young ruler went away sad. But it's interesting in the story, the Bible says in the first verse that when Jesus looked at him, he loved him. But yet the rich young ruler went away sad. My friends, the truth and love will cause somebody to be sad. Just because we love somebody, doesn't mean they won't be sad. Sometimes the truth will make people sad. My friends, there was a preacher in New York. He said it like this: "Evangelical Christianity in the United States is often characterized by a deep desire to have Christianity to pervade our culture, but not have Christianity to pervade us." You see, we want it to pervade the culture. We want America to be Christian, but yet it's not pervading us. It's not getting inside of us. I'm not here to tell you some bad news. I'm not here to tell you how bad the church is. I'm not here to tell you how bad the country is. I'm not going to convince you because you are aware that things are not getting any better. In fact, they're getting worse and worse and worse. You know things are not right. But this isn't the time, this isn't the only time in history that people have rejected the truth. All throughout the Bible, people have rejected the truth. And all throughout history, people have rejected the truth. The Bible in history proves to us that the people of God sometimes have rejected the truth. And there are cycles and seasons in life. For instance, in the book of Judges, God's people departed from him. Then the Bible says that God would chastise them. Then they would cry out to God and God would send a deliverer. You see, my friends, that was the cycle in the book of Judges. They departed from the truth and then God judged them. And when God judged them or chastised them, they cried out to God for help and then God would send a deliverer. My friends, that was the cycle in the book of Judges. But not only is it a cycle in the book of Judges, it is the cycle of life. People depart from the truth, and Christians are departing from the truth. When we depart from the truth, if we claim God as our Father, He will judge us. He will discipline us. I know we don't like that word, but if you claim God as your Father, and you claim to be a child of God, and you reject the truth, God will chastise you. He will discipline you. He will whip you. He will get you in shape. And you may blame it on the devil. You may blame it on the pastor and blame it on the church. But if God is your Father, and you are walking in sin, and you're rejecting the truth, He will discipline you. You say, how is he going to discipline? God uses anything in life to discipline you. But sometimes we're not aware of the discipline of God. We blame it on the devil, blame it on the church. But if you are a child of God and you claim God as your Father, if you are not walking in the truth and living the life that you need to live, he will discipline you. Charles Dickens, in his novel called A Tale of Two Cities, he said it best. This is the best of times, but also this is the worst of times. You know what I believe that is happening right now in America? Now, you may not like what I'm getting ready to say, but I said all of this to say this, that I believe that God is chastising the church right now. He is chastising the church right now. Do you realize that in the last 6 months of how many mega pastors have fallen into sin and fallen from grace? It's as if they're being exposed one right after another. And if you've kept up with it, you know it's just not one, it's many. Now, for some of you that don't have internet and you don't look at what's happened, in the last 6 months, multiple mega churches have fallen because their pastors were caught in immorality and secret sin. Why is this happening at this time? It's happening in this time because God is exposing sin and he's chastising the church. We claim God as our Father, and there are those who are sinning. There are those who are rejecting the truth in the church while they're claiming God as their Father. And God said a good father will always discipline his children. Now, he'll give you time to repent. He'll give you time. He'll be long-suffering. But if you refuse to repent, he will chastise you. And that's what's happening in the church. God has been dealing with people. God has been tugging at people's hearts. People have listened to sermons after sermons after sermons after sermons, and they get up from the church, walk out the door, and they don't repent of their sin. They don't clean the mess out of the closet, and God is getting tired of it. He's saying, I'm going to start exposing some stuff because I've given you time to repent. I've given you time to clean up. I've given you time to confess, but because you've sat in church services with your arms folded, it's steeped in pride and rebellion, I'm getting sick of it. I'm going to expose it. I'm going to expose it. And that's exactly what's happening. But in 2024, let me remind you, the Bible is still true. And the gospel is still right. And salvation still works. And holiness is still right. Church attendance is still good. Submission to authority is still correct. Repentance from sin is still necessary. Jesus is still enough. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus still heals. He still delivers. He is still the only way. He is still the bondage breaker. He is still the mind regulator. He is still the heart healer. I believe the best is yet to come. Woo! Hallelujah. I believe that it's time for us, if the cycle is right, that people depart from the truth and then God will chastise people. The next thing is that people cry out to him and send help and deliverance. That is the cycle of the Old Testament. There's departure from the truth. Then there's chastisement. Then there's crying out to God. And then there is a mighty deliverance. My friends, I believe that in the midst of this chastisement, in the midst of what God is doing in the church, there is still a remnant of people that's crying out to God. God, send a revival. Send an awakening. Send your spirit once again. I don't know about you, but surely somebody's in farming in Missouri that's crying out, God, you did it before, you did it then, you did it in the past, do it again. Fill our altars with sinners again. Oh, fill our church with people that's hungry for you again. Amen. I'm talking about people that will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. People that will not hesitate in the presence of adversity. People that will not negotiate at the table of the enemy. And people that will not ponder at the pool of popularity, nor meander in the maze of mediocrity. People that will raise up and say, God, if you're going to use anybody, then use me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Is there anybody in the building that can just stand to your feet right now and say, God, send a revival once again? Oh, hallelujah. Is there anybody that can just cry out and say, God, send a revival once again. Send an awakening. Oh, send it again, Lord. Oh, we need a fresh touch from heaven. Oh, we need another earth-shaking, hell-stomping revival once again. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. There was an old preacher years ago in an old country church in the hills of Appalachia. He walked to the pulpit. And this is what he said. If all the sleepy folk would wake up, if all the lukewarm folk would fire up, and if all the dishonest folk would confess up, and all the depressed folk would look up, and all the discouraged folk would cheer up, and all you gossipers shut up, and all you dry bones shake up, and all you church members pray up, and all you thieves pay up, we'll probably have revival. Hallelujah. How many would agree with that preacher tonight? You see, my friends, that's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm seeking God for. I remember I was saved in an old country church in the hills of West Virginia. That's why you hear an accent. But I hear an accent from you too, so. I grew up in the hills of West Virginia. My grandparents would take me to church and my uncle would take me to church. And I remember those services where the power of God was so strong. As I sit on the front row, like these children were sitting on the front row, I remember the preacher preaching, and the preacher started praying and crying, and I didn't know what the preacher was saying, but I felt it in my heart. I felt something was different. I remember as a 9-year-old boy getting up out of my seat and coming to the front, and I started crying and didn't even know what I was crying for. Oh, but the women of the church would get around me and lay hands on me, speaking another language, and I didn't know what they were saying, but I knew as a child that I didn't know how to explain it. I didn't know what they were saying, but there was something real in the church service, something real that caused me to keep coming back and coming back. And at 12 years old, I remember, I heard the Spirit say to me clearly, at a 12-year-old boy, woe unto you if you preach not the gospel. Woe unto you if you preach not the gospel. And I remember at 12 years old thinking to myself, I got to preach. I got to do this thing. And the pull was so strong, I thought to myself, I can't do anything else. I mean, I can't do anything. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. And the pull was so strong for me to do it, I just had to do it. I had friends who were sleeping with each other. I had people that was partying. I had people doing everything, but the pull of God was so strong on my life that I couldn't do it. Oh, can I hear an amen? And I had a Pentecostal Church of God district bishop when I was 13 years old. At a Bible conference in the hills of West Virginia, this district superintendent looked at me. I'll never forget this, Pastor. He looked at me and said, oh, Josh, all this crying and all this thing you're doing at the, all this fire that you supposedly, you'll lose it when you get my age. I'll never forget him saying that to me. Oh, he's already dead and gone, and there's nothing in my heart against him. That's just speaking from his own insecurity, and there's grace there. Oh, but if he could see me today. Oh, if he could only see that little boy that got the Holy Spirit and got saved at a young age and was called to preach in the hills of West Virginia, I never lost the fire. Not one time did I ever lose it. The fire kept burning and burning and burning and burning, and the pool kept pulling and pulling and pulling. Oh, my friends, what we need today is another awakening by the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, these young people that sit on the front row, never discourage them. They may not shout like you, but let them jump, let them pray, let them sing, pray over them, because they could be the next Josh Pennington. They could be the next Billy Graham. They could be the next. If you stop it, Jesus said, it's better to wrap a millstone around your neck and be thrown into the sea than you to offend one of these. Don't do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Could you raise your hands and thank the Lord? I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah, for the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody, just rejoice right now, saying, Lord, I need an awakening. I need to be woke up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord, blessed be the Lord, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. I tell you, God is good. Hallelujah. I said, God is good. I said, God is good. I said, God is good. I remember in that same camp meeting, when I was around 15, 16 years old, the Spirit of the Lord was moving in one of those services. And I'm just a teenager, barely 15 years old. And I was in one of those another services like we are tonight. And the Spirit of God was moving all over the building. And as the Spirit of the Lord was moving, I was on the front row. And this preacher that I've never seen before, he was the guest speaker. And as he stopped the sermon, he would begin to pray. He said, I want all the children to come up front. I want all the teenagers to come up front. And of course, I came and I stood there. And I had a pastor. She stood behind me. And he went down the line and began to pray. And he came to me. And he stopped. And he had the music to stop. And I'll never forget this. He looked at me. He said, what's your name? I said, my name is Josh. He said, the Spirit told me to tell you. Get your passport because you're getting ready to preach around the world. At that 15-year-old boy, I didn't understand the anointing. I didn't understand what I was feeling, but I knew that this thing that I was involved in was real. I didn't understand everything that was going on, but I know it was real. My friends, some of you are so intellectual, you want to try to intellect the move of God. You're just like the Pharisees. You've missed Jesus. You're so smart, but you missed Jesus. Oh, I'm not saying don't do it. You need the head, but you need the heart as well. This is a heart thing and a head thing. Oh, can I hear an amen? Jesus said that my words are spirit and they are life, and you can only discern the things of God by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Can I just stop for a moment and praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Can I just stop and praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. This little boy here, what's in the pink shirt, what's your name? Is that Nixon? Come here, Nixon. Stand here. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to embarrass you. But the Spirit wants you to know that He's going to use you greatly one day. That His hand is going to be on you, and that many people will know your name, and that you don't have to worry about anything. He's going to go with you. He's going to guide you. He's going to keep His hand upon you, and you're going to do great exploits for the Lord. Don't ever run away from God. Always run as close as you can, even when you don't understand it. Always run as close as you can to Him, because He wants to use you. Amen. He's given you a mind to understand, and that understanding will get greater and greater and greater. You don't understand it all right now, but that's okay. But you have the heart, and He's going to bring the head and the heart together, and He's going to use you as a great instrument for His kingdom. Amen. So, Lord, I pray for this young man. Use him mightily in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Come on, stretch your hands forth. Father, every child tonight, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would use them greatly, Lord. Use them greatly. Use them greatly. Lord, thank you. Oh, raise this young man up as a pillar, a pillar. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. He's raising you up as a pillar in the church, a strong pillar of faith. Oh, you're going to be a great man of faith, a great man of faith, a great man of faith. Oh, the Word of God that's laying on your lap is not just going to be on your lap. It shall be in your heart and on your lips, says the Lord. Somebody rejoice right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. I thank you, Lord. Put healing into this man's hands tonight. Use him greatly. Let the gifts of the Spirit be upon him, that he would be used greatly for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of God upon this young lady. I thank you, Lord, that you're clothing her with grace and honor tonight, that the angels of God is encamped round about her, and that you will use her voice. Yes, give her a scepter and a voice, and the voice shall go forth and pierce the hearts of people, Lord. Oh, it shall catch the hearts of people on fire. In Jesus' name, I thank you for this young lady, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Bible says in Acts chapter 12, I forget the verse, but Peter was delivered from prison. And as he was delivered from prison, the angel delivered him from prison. And as Peter walked out of the prison, he came to some gates. And the Bible says the iron gate opened all by itself. And the word of the Lord to you is this, that the gates, whatever obstacles or hindrances you may see now, it will be opened eventually. The iron gate is something that nobody can open. The gates could not be opened for Peter because there are iron gates, but it opened when he got there. And the Spirit says, when it's time, when you get there, I'll open the gate. I'll open the iron. Something that cannot be opened by human hands and human intervention, don't worry about. I'll open it up when it's time to be opened, says the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, touch this little girl. Let the power of God be upon her and use her greatly for the kingdom of God. I bless her in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Can somebody bless the Lord tonight? Oh, come on, somebody bless the Lord tonight. Oh, somebody bless the Lord tonight. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Sister Darlene, stand right here. Stand right here, Sister Darlene. And Sister Darlene, as I was preaching and I told my story, how the Spirit wooed me and pulled me, you felt the same thing. You felt the same thing. And listen, the word of the Lord has already told you that you don't need to be fearful. What's in your heart, you'll do. You say, Lord, I'm so fearful that I might not get to do it because maybe time is running out. There ain't no time with God. He knows how to collapse time and get things faster done, more than you could ever. No fear. There's complete peace and rest that you'll be able to do exactly what you want to do in Jesus' name. Hey, amen. Amen, amen. Somebody bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. You see, you told your story last night. You told a story. But the Lord says, that is only half of the book. You only told half of the book. There's another chapter to be written in your book. Your book ended with a period. But the Lord says, no. He erased it. There's a comma now. The story is continuing. Now the story is something much different. There's a different chapter to the book. Oh, yes, you need the other chapter to remind you how you got to this chapter. But don't be ashamed of the last chapter. Just look at it and smile, because God's writing a new chapter in your life. And a part of that chapter is your husband, because you're a team and brought you together. And Father, you have anointed this couple to be a powerhouse for you. Hallelujah. And the Lord says, open your mouth. Maybe there's more to do than just to play and sing. But the Lord says, I'll give you the anointing and I'll give you the ability to do it when the time comes in Jesus' name. Thank you for the power of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, praise God. Somebody say, praise God. Hallelujah. You know you're hungry. You've been hungry for a long time. Very hungry. very, very hungry, the Lord says, take your hands off. Just take hands off of everything. Take your hands off of it. Just stand back and I'll take care of it. Hallelujah. You're in the perfect will of God. You're right where He wants you to be. So be at peace and be at rest. Hallelujah. Be at peace and be at rest. Run after. You see, Christy, I see you in a field and you want to run, but you're afraid because you're like, I'll get stung by a bee if I run in the field freely. It's like a hot summer day and the sun is shining. You want to run so much because it's a beautiful day. You got your shoes off, but you're fearful of running. You're fearful of what's in the grass. The Lord says, go ahead and run. Just run. It's going to be all right. Amen. 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 How many say tonight, I didn't even finish my sermon, but that's all right. How many's praying for a spiritual awakening? I said, how many wants a spiritual awakening? Could we just get out of our seat tonight and just flood around the altars and kneel around the altars tonight? Just old-fashioned, just kneel around the altar if you're able and say, Lord, we need an awakening. Amen. Somebody come just to the keyboard, just the keyboard. Everybody else, just come around the front, kneel at the altar and say, Lord, send an awakening. Send a harvest. Send an awakening in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just take about 10 minutes and cry out to the Lord. Lord, send an awakening. Oh God, open our hearts to hear your word. Open our hearts to know what you want to do in our life, in our heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.